You turn with me to the third chapter of the book of Exodus. You got to understand, I preach at 90 miles an hour with gust up to 140, okay? So we're going to have to preach fast this morning. We'll slow down tonight. You've got to listen fast for us to be able to get there. And I want to announce a theme while you're turning to that passage of Scripture. I don't know how God works. God works with different people different ways, but He works with me in that in the beginning of a year, He drops a theme into my spirit. Now, that comes after prayer and fasting. And the theme this year for my life is the theme of our destiny, that we are men and women of destiny. When I was here a few weeks ago, we addressed that, but we're going to address that even more as we progress into this revival. I want you, if you will, again, to just, I want to ask you to stand. You've stood a lot. Look at that third chapter of the book of Exodus. I want to go to the 13th verse and read the 13th and the 14th verse, and it reads like this. It said, "Then Moses said to God, indeed I have come to the children of Israel and to say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Now, you want something to preach. You young preachers want something to preach. That'll preach your shoe heels off right there. Just determining who God is. Who is God? God is whatever you need Him to be this morning. Amen. If you need a Savior, He is Savior. Amen. If you need a Redeemer, He is Redeemer. If you need a Healer, He is Healer. If you need a Deliverer, He is a Deliverer. If you need a friend, He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you need a companion, He will be a lifelong, eternal companion. God is the great I am of all that you will ever need. Whatever you brought to this church today, I'm here to tell you the answer is in the house, because God is in the house to meet your need. Amen. He said, "My name is I am Jehovah. I am who I am." And He said, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. Father, anoint me as I endeavor to speak." I want to speak, God, as a man from another world. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to build a reputation. I am here to deliver a message, God, simply as a messenger. God, would you anoint my lips with a fire that burns upon the altar? Anoint the ears to hear and hearts to be receptive, and we'll be careful to praise you. In Jesus' lovely name we pray and praise. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you didn't know it yet, I am here to preach to you. Hallelujah. Didn't hear to preach to those that stayed home. I'm not here to preach around you. I am preaching directly to you. And the thing that I'd like to say to you this morning is that there's not an accident in the house. Amen. Praise God. I'll try that over here a little slow this morning. I said there is not an accident in this house this morning. There's not a wandering generality. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that is in this building today, you are here because you were divinely destined of God to be here for such a season as this. Amen. You remember the story of Esther. I won't preach Esther, but you remember when Mordecai came to her and asked her to plead the case before the king. Esther knew that if the king did not receive her and hand her the scepter of authority, that she would die if she was out of the purpose of God. But Esther said this, "I'll go to the king, for who knows that for such a season as this was I born." Hallelujah. I've got a word for you. For such a season as this, you were born for today. Amen. There's not one here that God did not know. God did not just know you the night or the day that your mother and father got together and you were conceived. That's not when God recognized you. When they named you, that wasn't when God knew you. My Bible says that before the foundation of the earth, before there was a grain of sand that was called terra firma, that God knew you. Hallelujah. In fact, He didn't just know you. He knew you by name. Hallelujah. He said that He had your name written upon the palm of His majestic hand. Hallelujah. Oh, I see you're not really understanding. You see, we used to sing a song, and it was a good old song. I like those good old songs. Some of them could be tried for being biblical and come out scot-free. Hallelujah. But they were good old songs, and one of those good old songs was, "I bowed on my knees and cried holy." You remember that? Hallelujah. Great song. I believe that we ought to bow on our knees and cry holy, but that song had a line in it that should be thrown out. It said that when this man man dreamed that he went to heaven, that he was running through heaven looking for Mark and Luke and Timothy, amen, so he could be introduced to them. I got a word for you today. When the rapture takes place, or when you leave this life to go to heaven, you won't have to look for Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Paul or Peter. They're standing at the gate because they died looking to your generation. Somebody ought to say amen. Hallelujah. Well, come on, amen. They died with anticipation. They died wondering if it was going to be as good as they said it was. For he said, in the last days I will pour out of my spirit. You are the fulfillment of God's divine destiny for the ages, and you ought to praise God. Hallelujah. Now, you see, I've got to hurry, but I need to tell you, there's not an illegitimate person here. Amen. I hear a lot of people today talking about illegitimacy. No such thing. Don't ever say that in my hearing. I'll clean your plow. Somebody said, I don't know who my mama is. I don't know who my daddy is. I got a word for you, friend. I don't care who your earthly mama or who your earthly daddy is. That's not where your heritage is. Amen. You see, somebody said, yeah, but it was an illicit affair that brought forth my life. Oh, let me tell you, God looked down and saw something ugly and said, I'll bring something good out of something ugly. And he gave a life. Satan can't give life. You're not here because of the devil. You're here because you're in the middle of a divine plan of God's provision. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Amen. Come on, praise God. Oh, I'm so tired of hearing young people saying, I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. My God, have mercy. You are a child of the high and holy God, that God has placed his approval upon your life. Amen. Now, you see, if God has ordained all of us, if there's no big I's and little U's, but we're all here under the plan and the unctions of God, then why aren't we seeing more of the manifestation out of God's purpose in our lives? I don't have time to preach this, but if I had time to preach it, I'd go back and preach a little bit of Moses before this third chapter. You see, Moses was the answer to 350 years of prayer. He was the answer to God's promise to send a deliverer unto Israel. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. You need to understand that you are an answer to somebody's prayer. Hallelujah. You're the answer to generations that's gone before you. Paul and I got here, and I reminisce every time I drive down 31 and I pass Pelham, and I think about the times I preached at the old Pelham church, and I think about preaching, or I guess I preach behind every tree somewhere here one time or another in the 42 years of my life. And I think about those that have gone on. Paula was reminiscing, coming on, and said, do you remember so-and-so? And she talked about a pastor that had passed away. And remember so-and-so. Do you realize that those people over the last decade, over the last century, ever since there's been a town here, there's been somebody praying for Alabaster, somebody praying for this surrounding area, somebody believing that there was more to God than we've seen thus far. Somebody realizing that God is not finished yet. Somebody realizing that God wants to do more than he's ever done. So, come on, somebody, hallelujah. And they were praying. Some grandma, some grandpa, some preacher has been praying. They, by faith, saw this generation. Hallelujah. And you are here now. And all God is waiting for you to do is to say, here am I, Lord. Use me. Hallelujah. No, you're looking at me like you believe it's all took place. See, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of people living in what used to be. Well, I wish we'd have a revival like we used to have 25 years ago. Or in grandma's day. Hallelujah. I love granny. She was a great gal. She went to heaven. Hallelujah. But that wasn't the best that God has. The best that God has is sitting before me today. And God is saying, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just challenge me, if you'll just allow me, I'll do something in Alabaster that's never been done before in the history of mankind. For you are the answer. Hallelujah. Well, I'll whistle for myself. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what are you doing whistling in church? I learned that in Africa. Hallelujah. They whistle when they worship, and I whistle when I worship. Hallelujah. But we need to understand. Somebody said, if we are the call, then why haven't we seen the things that God has promised? Well, you see, there's an enemy that is trying to hinder us from fulfilling the call. You know why the devil's down here, not down at the bar? Let me preach it over here. I said, the devil is not down at the bar. He's not down at the strip club. He's not over there with the methamphetamine addicts. He's got that crowd. Hallelujah. I'll tell you where he's at. He's right here. And let me tell you why he's here. Let me tell you why you've gone through some of the mess you've gone through. I'm going to preach that tonight. But let me tell you the reason you are is because Satan is afraid that if you ever recognize who you are, and if you ever recognize why you're here, he has lost everything that he's thought he's gained. Somebody ought to say amen. Praise God. Praise God. So he attacks us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, the rulers of spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, baby, the devil's alive and well. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody looks, I thought you was going to say that. I know that's the truth. But I've got better news than that. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Now why don't you praise God about that? Amen. You see, Satan, he uses the same old tricks that he's used against Moses. You say, what did he do? He tried to kill Moses before Moses knew who he was. Amen. Before Moses was born, Pharaoh was already given the awareness that a deliverer was coming and that he ought to be stopped because Pharaoh was an instrument in Satan's hands. And so he admonishes all of those midwives to kill the boy babies that are born out in Goshen. You see, Satan, before Moses is even born, said, if I can kill him before he knows who he is, then I've won. You see, that is the same plan that Satan has had for your life. Okay. I said that exact same plan that Satan has for you is that he's been trying to kill you since before you got into this world. Don't look at me like that. Amen. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Were you almost in the accident? Did the doctor's report almost come to pass? Did you almost leave this life? Were you somebody that did die but you lived? Hallelujah. Somebody said, why did that happen? Because God says, I have a purpose in your life that has not been fulfilled yet, and I got a word for you. There's not enough devils in or out of hell that can take you out of this life until God. I just heard a sore spot. I just hit a sore. Oh, yes, he can. No, he can't. Hallelujah. When you are the righteousness of God, when you are, I got a word for you, until God is through with me, I am immortal. Hallelujah. Brother Silcox, you don't know what the doctor said. I don't give a rip what the doctor said. Hallelujah. You don't know how old I am. I don't care if you're a day older than dirt. If God is not through with you, you're not going anywhere until God has fulfilled his divine purpose. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Woo. I'm too old to get this excited. Somebody said, aren't you afraid to get on those airplanes and go to China? No. Not afraid. Somebody said, what if the plane goes down? I got a word for you. Halfway across the Pacific Ocean, that 747 that I come back on the other night can blow sky high. But don't give up on me. Hallelujah. If God's not through with me, send somebody out there. I'll be treading water until somebody shows up, because I know who I am. I know whose I am. And I know God's not through. Paul is saying, careful, careful. This is Sunday morning. Yeah, Sunday morning, but I don't have but three nights. I got to use what I got. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, he'll try to destroy you before you know who you are. But the very fact that you're here, hey, woo, you are here. The very fact that you're here is God ain't through with you. Hey, the very fact that you're here ought to make you shout, because if the devil could have, he would have already killed you, amen. The fact that you're still here, he can't touch you, amen. Every time he gets close, God says, uh-uh, that one's mine, hallelujah. I've got a hedge around that one. Oh, come on, hallelujah. I need to preach tonight. I'm not going to get to the sermon. This is just introduction. See, Brother Silcox, Brother Silcox, I think I'm too old. I've turned it over to the youngins now. Now, if that's you, you're dismissed. In fact, get up and leave in a hurry. We've already had one ambulance out here. I don't want to have somebody come pick up your cold, dead body. Hey, if God's through with you, I got a word for you. He's got a retirement plan. I said, if you really believe God's through with you, go home. Don't go to McDonald's. Check that little gray box. Make sure your insurance papers are paid up so we can bury you. For if God's through with you, he's got a better land waiting on you. The reason we're still here is because God says, I still have a plan for your life. I have a destiny that hadn't been fulfilled. See if he can't kill you. Then the second thing he'll try to do, young people, is he'll try to incorporate you into the world. That's what he'll do. He took Moses and he brought him into Pharaoh's household. And you know what Moses believed? I can change the world from the palace of Pharaoh. He's living the big lie. Hello. See, the reason you're not shouting now, because we bought into this. We bought in the idea that if I can get in politics, or if we can march enough on Washington, or my God, if we could elect somebody else next time around, God grant it. Wait a minute. Some of you got mad at me just then. I'm not talking about any individual. The whole crowd up there needs to be fired, and we need to send some people up there that knows what's going on. Hallelujah. That's what I'm saying. You know how we used to preach Moses? We preached that. I preached it because I heard Ray Hughes preach it that way. And Lowry and all the super duper whooper whoppers. They said, Moses, had he not said, I'd rather suffer the afflictions with my people than to dwell in the temple of Pharaoh. Then we'd be going over looking at Moses in the Egyptian museum, preserved as a mummy, as being a former Pharaoh. And that's a lie hatched out of the pit of a devil's hell. Moses was never going to be a Pharaoh. Satan would have hid him in a palace and he'd have died, and nobody had ever known that he'd ever lived, because he didn't have one drop of Egyptian blood in him. Satan's idea was, if I can wrap him up in the world, then I don't have to worry about him. And Satan's playing the same trick on some of you. If this world is going to be changed, it's not going to be changed through the world system. It's going to be changed through the anointing upon some God called God anointed man, woman, boy, or girl that stands up and says, I'll make a difference. That came back too. Yeah, Brother Silcox, I'm going to send my kids to a state university so they can change the world. And what happens to most of your kids is they turn into agnostics, and they get caught up in the world and they live and die never knowing that God gave you that child to preach and to teach and to sing and to testify and to be godly businessmen and women for the glory. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. You're anti-education. Thought I was going to be the first one to go directly from undergraduate work to old age pension. I'll match my master's with yours right afterwards if you would like. If you'd like to talk intellectual isms, we can do that and play mental brain games. Or we can get together and say, unless God anoints it. Unless God places his anointing, we're spitting in the wind. Pardon the expression. Amen. Moses had to realize, if I'm going to be used of God, if he can't kill you, if he can't wrap you up in the system, you know what the next thing he'll do to you? He'll try to get you wrapped up. I may have touched some of this, but I want to reiterate it. He'll try to get you wrapped up in your inherent weakness. Satan, if he can't kill you, if he can't wrap you up in the world, he will try to enhance your weakness. I don't have any. You lie about that, you lie about other stuff. I got saved and I got perfect. Then you come free. Because you sure got the wrong evangelist. If you're looking for perfection, wait a minute, don't look at me like I just backslid and blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I get up every morning. The Bible calls sin, the word sin in the New Testament is hermarthia. It is a shooter's term. Any deer hunters here? Okay. Anybody go in the woods with a stick and a string instead of a gun? You can't kill them with a gun. That's foolish, going in with a stick and a string. But it means aiming. It means shooting to hit the mark. Every morning I get up, fall on my face and say, God, let me hit the mark of perfection today. I want to be just like you. And sometimes I make it past breakfast. They want you to get another evangelist right now. Get us a perfect one. Well, don't send him over here. Hallelujah. I ain't going any further than that. I do all right until some... I don't know where these people get their driver's licenses driving out there today. Out of a Cracker Jack box. Because they don't know how to drive. I know. You just so saved and you bless them. I do too. Bless you if I could get a hold of you. And then almost call a 7-car pileup, and then some little old girl that don't know any better roll down the window and throw up her hand and tell you that you're number one in the world. And all you did is keep from running over her. Let me tell you what. If you're doing that, stop that. That's stupid. Because I don't know. See, there's no consequences in this world we live in today. I came from 8 Mile, Alabama. Yeah, you can't get there from here. You go so far, you swing the rest of the way in on a grapevine. I know about those Brogans. See, they don't know, but I know. And I tell you what, in 8 Mile, you did something like that. You know what you were saying to another man? You were saying, I'm bigger and badder than you are. And if you don't believe it, get out of the car and we'll prove it right here. So when you did that, you didn't just ride off and say, I gave him a bad sign. No, somebody's fixing to kick you where it hurts. I swear I get that. I'm trying to stay saved. I was at a drive-in teller the other day, and a woman gave me my money, and I count my money after, because I ain't got that much. I got to count it. I know she means well, but I make sure. And the woman behind me blew the horn and threw it out the window and told me I was wonderful and great. And I just got through praying, make me perfect. Before I knew it, I was halfway back to her car. And she rolled up her window, and I'm knocking on the glass, and the horns are blowing, but I'm knocking on the glass. She rolled down the window about that much, and I said, this is your lucky day. She didn't look like it was lucky. I said, it's your lucky and blessed day, first of all, because you did that to a preacher. That's wonderful. That's it. And I said, second of all, you did it to a preacher that's almost sanctified. No, I was at the place I wasn't really sure I was going to give myself a little bit of doubt there. And I said, yeah, you did that to a preacher that said, because if I wasn't in the town that I come from, I'd drag you out of that car and treat you like the man you're trying to act like. Now, wait a minute. Whoa. I'm going to straighten it out, Pastor. Hang on. I'm not advocating that you do that. In fact, I've never felt such condemnation in my life and guilt and had to repent after it was over. But you need to understand something. I have an inherent human weakness. I'm the only one. Ain't none of you guys ever got mad and hit the wall, the sheetrock wall, have you? Or the door, a time or two. And then you say, well, my daddy got it from my daddy, and his daddy did the same stupid stuff. We ought to learn something after a while. What are you talking about, Brother Silk? I'm talking about Moses' inherent weakness. He decides and knows that he's called of God. But he encounters an Egyptian fighting with an Israelite. And he kills an Egyptian. And you know how I preach that? Because the way I heard it preached, he was just showing that he had the leadership qualities to be the deliverer of Israel. That is a lie hatched out of hell. What happened to him? He got ticked off and he had a bad temper. He didn't get over it either. He had a bad temper when he threw down the Decalogue and broke it. He had a bad temper when he smote a rock when God said speak to it. He never got over his inherent weakness to the point that God said, you'll not go into the promised land. Am I preaching to anybody? No, I don't want you to raise your hand. Don't even smile and nod. And don't say amen, because I find a lot of times people saying amen to get the attention off of them. Amen. Look somebody else. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that we all have inherent weaknesses. Some of us, it's our temper. Some of us, it's our mouth. Some of us, we don't know when to turn off the computer when the pop-up comes up that we need to leave it. Oh, come on, let's preach now. Hallelujah. Some of us, we have varying stages of things that's still left in us. And so what the devil does is the same thing he did for Moses for 40 years. He says, because you've got a weakness that disavows you from being all that God has intended you to be, I've got good news for you today. I came to tell you that your inherent weakness will not keep you from doing the will of God. God is bigger than the weakness that is in your life. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Yes. Man, I wished I could tell every young person that ever got drunk. No, it don't happen in this church, Edna. I wished I could tell them that you don't have to live a drunken life because you made one mistake. I wished I could tell some young couple that made a bad mistake because they let their lust get a hold of them. I wished I could tell them you don't have to live like that anymore, that God is bigger than your weakness, that God still has a plan. He can wash you and cleanse you and purify. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. I wished I could tell one preacher that is backslidden because of pornography. I wished I could tell him, God is bigger than your problem with pornography. The blood can cover your sin and set you free, and God can still make a champion out of you. I guess I'm just preaching to me. If he can't kill you, if he can't incorporate you in the world, if he can't wrap you up in your weakness, he'll try to convince you that you've missed God. If I had just turned right when I was 16 instead of left, if I had just gone forward instead of back, if I had just listened, you know what's tearing my heart out? Preaching this message across this nation and across the world, and I'm having not one, but dozens of men and women. I was in South Carolina the other day and I was preaching, and there was a very distinguished looking lady that came to me, and she said, preacher said, would you mind for you and your wife or the pastor to come by my office tomorrow? I didn't realize when I got there that this woman was the executive vice president of one of the largest banks in town. I was ushered back into her private office and sat and looked at her. She looked at me in tears before even a hello started burning down her face. She said, I'm 56 years old. I was called when I was 17 to be a missionary, but nobody ever told me how to be a missionary and how to get there and to do the work of God. And so I've spent my life in the world and I missed the calling, and therefore God can't use me. I've got good news for a 56-year-old banker that missed God. God is still working in your life, and it's not over yet. God can still use you like he did Moses when he was 80 years old. Amen. Yes. Can I help you? I said, I'm doing all right. I'm okay, huh? Can I help you? Can I help this church this week? Will you let me help you? Can I get you to understand something? You can't miss God. If, preaching to you young people, you can't miss God if you're trying to find Him. Four people got that. If this church got that, this would turn into the greatest celebration that has ever happened. If we just grasp the fact that you can't miss God if you're trying to find Him. He said, if you ask of me an egg, I'll not give you a scorpion. If you ask of me a fish, I'll not give you a serpent. God said, if you'll just try to find, but I made a wrong turn. He'll take your wrong turn and turn it around and make it the greatest blessing that has ever happened in your life. Hallelujah. Somebody. Woo. Man, am I the only one that feels the anointing? Oh, Brother Silcox, it's just by faith. No. Faith moves God, but there's something else moves God. See, I'm a faith guy. I preach in faith churches. I have people that are in the faith movement friends. But I tell them, Lord, read the rest of the book. Read the rest of God can only be moved by faith. Is anybody beside me glad that's not true? I'm not talking about those of you that got saved last week and can't understand why everybody hadn't got as much as you've got. I'm talking about those that's been serving God for the last 30 years. Is anybody glad that God can be moved by something besides faith? You see, there have been times that I've walked into this building and buildings like this totally devoid of faith. I could walk under a snake's belly with my hat on. I was so low I had to reach up to touch bottom. My faith quotient had drained. I hadn't heard. I hadn't read. I hadn't fed. I hadn't increased my faith. I should have, but I wasn't. But God didn't wait till I got there. You see, for He said, in the writer of the Hebrews said, for we have a high priest that is passed under the heaven. Anybody glad you got a high priest in the heavens making forever intercession for it? We've got a high priest that's passed into the heaven. He is holy. Glory to God, I'm holy because He is holy. He is harmless. He is undefiled. And He can be touched. Anybody glad that the priest can be touched? Amen. Who can be touched by the feeling? Don't throw books at me. It's in the book. By the feeling of our infirmity. Jesus knows you're hurt in pain. I got to close. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm closing, but I'm not sorry. If He can't kill you, incorporate you into the world, enhance your weakness, tell you you've missed God and it's too late, it's never too late. It is never too late. All you need is an encounter. That's why we have revival. This is going to be encounter week. Amen. You're going to come in here not expecting to find anything, but wandering through the worship and the praise and the word, you're going to run face to face with a bush. Hallelujah. Hey, wait a minute. It don't have to be a special bush. Any old bush will do. Hallelujah. No, you didn't hear what I said. I wish we'd realize the bush doesn't matter. It's not the bush. That wasn't what got His attention. It was the fire that was burning in the bush. You're going to walk in and bump up against somebody, and they're going to be a burning, flaming fire. Maybe somebody's sitting next to you. May not even be the evangelist. Maybe the singer. Maybe those that are worshiping. Maybe somebody just walks in off the street and you're going to encounter the real, true anointing of the power of God, the fire of God. Where have we come to that we no longer believe that our God is a consuming fire? We're going to encounter the fire of God and the voice of God. And so, Moses, 80 years old, two-thirds of his life gone. It's gone. Average age, wait a minute, don't say Moses, his generation lived to several hundred years old. By the time Moses came along, the life expectancy was 120. 80 of those years, 80 of those years has gone. That's it, through. And God speaks to him and says, take off your shoes. helps you for the ground whereon you now stand is holy ground. And God speaks to him. I'll come back and talk about that later, but listen. And Moses speaks to God. God says, I want to use you. I want you to quit looking at somebody else to be blessed in this revival. Well, they'd been there today, he'd have got them. Oh, no, you are. I'm preaching to you. Came to preach to you. If I ask you after the service, what is God's call upon your life? What is your divine purpose for being in this world? What has God brought you here for? You got to be able to say, I can tell you. It took me a while to get there. I'm not a pastor. Y'all figured that out. Pastors, they're loving and kind, and they put salve on your wounds. Evangelists hold you over hell till you smell yourself burning and leave town before you know that you're burning. It took me 20 years of pastoring to be able to tell you I'm not a pastor. And don't look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. I went back and apologized to the two churches that I pastored. Somebody said you had some success. When are we going to start judging success by ourselves? You know, that's like winning 100 meters and getting the gold medal. And somebody says, well, you must be fast. No, I ran against the folks down at the nursing home. By the time we turned over their wheelchairs and kicked out a few crutches, we whipped everybody in the whole place. I wasn't called. That's not my call. My call is not a prophet. My call is not an apostle. My call is not pastor. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm as called to be an evangelist as there's ever been on the face of this earth. I know who I am. I know what God's called. I know God's made me promises that are not fulfilled yet. Amen. So I'm not going anywhere until those promises are fulfilled. And God speaks to us and we hear the voice of God. God calls out. And Moses said, I've got a question or two. Get ready to play for me. That was the introduction. Here's the sermon. I'm going to finish it in 2 minutes. I've got a question from you, God. God of the fire, God of the anointing, God of the voice. Who, when I tell those people back in Goshen, when I tell them that you have sent me to be a deliverer, who shall I tell them hath sent me? Let me tell you what. The biggest mistake of my life is 42 years believing that was the sermon. I preached it because that's the way I heard it preached. The sermon was, I am that I am. And boy, I've shouted and danced at the I am, but that's not the sermon. He said, that's who I am. That's not their problem, Moses. They have been praying to Jehovah God. They know who God is. They know about God. That's why they've been, it's not me they're going to be asking you about. It's not who I am that matters. He said, but when you get there, tell them, word for you. I'm not here because of our friendship. It was something happened when we were here last time that quickened his spirit and my spirit that says, why are you here now after all these years, Brother Silcox being gone and in Louisiana and all these years being out in the world, 44 names. Why are you here? I've got one answer for you. I'm here because Jehovah God sent. Let me tell you why you're here, preacher. You're not here because they got together and had a vote and decided the overseer was favorable to send you here. I don't know how he got the vote here, but you think you voted him in here. You living in La La Land and believing the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. I can tell you why he's here. Jehovah God said, go over there. And when they ask you, what are you doing in that pulpit? Look at them unashamed and say, I am here because God. When you get the brazen enough to go to your school and some pea brain teacher tries to tell you there is no God and that God doesn't exist and tries to sell you on this hoopla of intellectualism, and you look because everybody, you're not the favorite anymore, and they're turning their back. Just stop and look them right eyeball to eyeball and says, anybody ask why I'm here? Hallelujah. I'm not here because mama put me in this school. I'm not here because this is my district that I have to go. I am here because somewhere in the eons of eternity past, God said, I'm about to send somebody anointed to a high school. Hallelujah. And you can point your finger in their face and say, I am.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. See, some of you guys that hate your job, not here, just other places I go, you're just trying to hold on to something better comes along or you can retire. You think it's because the rotten boss and the rotten conditions. You hear me if you don't hear another word I say. The steps of a righteous man are ordered. You didn't go there because of the package. You didn't go there because you love the boss or the conditions. I believe anything in this book. Every stamp. Hadn't been a mistake in my life. I'm talking about on God's part. Hadn't been a failure. And even when I did, he brought me back to the right path. And you can look at your boss tomorrow and say, I just wanted to come by to tell you why I'm here. I'm here. Not for what you give me or what, but I'm here to be a contact of Jehovah God. I've been fighting. Starting today, I'm going to let God speak to me about my purpose. And I just thought I'd tell you, your prophets are about to go up. You're about to be blessed because I am. Kids, your mom and daddy look at you and say, what are we doing with you? Oh, yeah, they just, they don't take that. I had teenagers. I'll come back and preach how you got here. There's no such thing as a teenager, by the way. We created that in the 1900s. It's true. Teenagerdom does not exist except in the mind of this generation that created you. See, way back when, you were 12 years old and you played with toys. And then they bar mitzvahed you if you were Jewish. And you took off your ephod of childhood and you took up a spear. No transition. Had never been. We decided that years ago. Early 1900s, we decided to make a no man's land. 12 to 16, 4 years. Where you could be a kid one day. And then we'd want you to be an adult the next day and be a kid the next day. And we goofed you up. And we did that. Don't look at me like that. We did it. We put these kids in a place where I don't ever want to play with dolls or go out and do other stuff. Come on. Now, the sad part of it is, got worse than that. 4 years wasn't enough. Now I know some teenagers, 36 years old, still living at mama's house. And can't decide if he wants to play with toys or go out and get drunk because he's a proverbial teenager and somebody needs to give him the left foot of fellowship and tell him to grow up. Now, that's my opinion. Uh-oh. Back up, Kurt. But I had teenagers. Let me tell you, it was a bird that brought you. Here's a man, master's degree. It was a stork. Don't let him tell you anything else. Stork brought you. Reason I know, because there's a buzzard shows up. See, they told me about the stork, but nobody told me about the buzzard. You turn 12 or 13, the buzzard shows up and steals your brain. Flies off. And forever how long you're in that in-between place, the buzzard got your brain and you just operate. And your mom and daddy don't know what to do with you. They go, what did we do? Must have been some grave sin we committed. Good news is the buzzard's obligated to bring your brain back. Boy, that's the happiest day in your life when that buzzard comes back with the brain. Hallelujah. See, I'm trying to quit, and I want to make this humorous, but even in your own family, I said, why? What did I do? Look back at your mama and daddy and say, Mom, I know it's not easy raising teenagers, but let me tell you why I'm here. I'm not here because you decided to have some kids. See, it takes God to make life. And I'm here, your daughter and your son, because Jehovah sent me.